The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
Elaine Burke and Joe Shea with us for The Last Word on TV and streaming. What did you make, Elaine, of the Olympics opening ceremony, the big set piece on television last Friday evening?
It was very, it's as Eurovision as the Olympics can get. So obviously, I loved it. Now, I didn't watch it live. I was unwell on Friday night, as you can probably still hear my voice now. So I caught up on it today, and I did have the benefit of skipping through the bits that I felt were dragging on a little bit.
Are the ad breaks?
There wasn't that many ad breaks. I think people can just get over it. Like, we have this problem constantly of having a direct comparison with BBC, which has no ads and is a public service broadcaster. But lads, they have a bigger nation to fund them. Get over it. I'm sure loads of other broadcasters were showing ads during that ceremony. There were lulls. There were points where you could switch to an ad break. I just stop complaining.
And were you offended by any of the portrayal? For example, there was many Christians who believed that the Last Supper was been parodied, although that has been denied by the Jolie, the director of the event.
Honestly, I think it's scarlet for them, because there was 17 people in that tableau, and usually the Last Supper has, you know, the necessary 13.
Jesus and the 12 apostles.
Yeah, and they were honouring the Greek god Dionysus, because it was a tableau. All the tableaus had names, and it was a tableau festivite. Dionysus is the god, Greek god of festivities. Greece is the birthplace of the Olympics. It makes way more sense if that's what they were doing. And there are plenty of paintings and depictions of festivities with Dionysus in them that you can compare to the tableau that they laid out.
So believing that it was a Christian depiction was, in a sense, ignorance of the classical attributions.
I think if you're looking for something to have a moan about when it comes to drag queens and gay culture, you can easily find it and poke like holes in it. But why would it make sense for them to honour the Last Supper? That's not even a painting that they have in the Louvre. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't act, Leonardo da Vinci, not French. Why would they do the Last Supper?
Okay, listener Joe says, try doing that to Islam, woke show. It was a satanical ritual.
Everything's woke, Max. Max, everything is woke. I mean, listen, it's, if you're looking at 17 drag queens running down a runway on a bridge in Paris in the rain, and you immediately think Jesus and the disciples, then maybe the problem isn't the tableau. The problem might be yourself and your willingness to find offence. That was a kind of a ridiculous point in the midst of all of the real, genuine craziness.
Hold on a second, Joe. French Bishops' Conference, which represents that country's Catholic bishops, said the opening opening ceremony included scenes of mockery and derision of Christianity, and an American Catholic bishop, Robert Barron of Minnesota, called it a gross mockery. And a Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington, Johnson, described the scene as shocking and insulting to Christian people.
I'm sure they're all very level-headed critics in their own space.
Mike Johnson is definitely not somebody I would spend a lot of time listening to when in terms of critiquing of European culture or pretty much anything, to be honest with you. It wasn't the Last Supper. People jumped on it because they wanted to get angry. They wanted to have this, it's all woke, it's all satanic. It wasn't satanic. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. There were Americans who were absolutely freaking out by the satanic depiction of a woman holding her head in the bit about with the absolutely brilliant bit where they had that French death metal band. Yeah, fantastic. But they thought that was satanic as well. They didn't make the connection to the guillotine and to Marie Antoinette and to the French, the French history. It's ignorance, it's prejudice, it's wanting to be offended, and no offence, but you don't want to spend any time on that kind of stuff because you'll end up losing your own mind.
And it's funny now that what's satanic is drag and queer culture and not the heavy metal band. They didn't have a problem with the heavy metal band being satanic, I don't think. But now we've switched gears now.
Joe, what did you make, though, of the complaints about the ad breaks in RTE? Because, people are saying it's 725 million quid for RTE, between license fee and extra funding, and they still stick on ads. But I read Kevin Backhurst over the weekend saying that RT will lose money on Olympics coverage, that even though they get in sponsorships and advertising and show it, that they still will end up losing money.
Yeah, 725 is the new Ryan Tubridy, by the way. That's what everybody in RT is going to be hearing now. For any time anybody's upset with RT about anything, they're going to be hearing 725 million a year.
The new flip-flops.
They're going to lose money because RT are doing pretty comprehensive coverage. They have a big team out there. They're running morning, noon and night. They're running the coverage. And it's great that they are, because this is once in every 4 years we get to have this crazy festival of sport, and it's fantastic to see it. I wouldn't be that worried about a couple of ad breaks in amidst all of it. Actually, and one thing, one positive thing, the RTEi player is actually behaving itself, or at least it is for me. I've been watching a lot of stuff in the player, and it's working fine.
Well, sorry, as an aside, I actually, for different reasons, couldn't watch the All-Ireland football final live yesterday. Managed to keep phone off and all the rest of it and stuff. Got myself home to sit down and watch it, and I wasn't on the player until after 7 o'clock. How ridiculous is that? That was when, as soon as the game was finished, before 6 o'clock, surely it should have been available to watch back. And it's 7 o'clock before it arrives on the player. Fortunately, I didn't get to know the score before I watched the game.
Maybe the intern upload that was celebrating or something. I don't know. But what I think is really funny, no one was complaining about what was a big ad for Despicable Me 4 in the middle of the ceremony. What the hell was that about?
Is that a satanic movie as well, is it?
Yeah, I haven't seen any complaints about that. And that's the one thing that I was like, what am I watching here? There was this whole animated segment with minions, and I was baffled trying to figure out what the link between minions is in Paris and France, and I couldn't find one.
I had to look. I was immediately Googling that. Like a lot of people, I kind of watch TV these days with my, tablet next to me, and I Googled immediately Minions in France, and it turns out there's loads of connections to the Minions and to France. But that was bizarre. But the whole thing, it was madly ambitious, which was great. The weather was terrible, and it kind of reminded me of, do you remember when the Queen had her kind of silver jubilee or golden jubilee, and they did a river pageant for her in London, the late Queen of England, and basically it was in a torrential monsoon conditions, and it was a complete disaster. I felt bad in some ways for the French and for the organizing committee.
It shows how impressive that whole thing was, because to be in that terrible weather, that downpour, and I on the RTE feed there was one moment of signal loss, one, and that was to do with the weather. Like, to be performing and breakdancing while you're opera singing in the rain.
Joe Lane, this listener says, the International Olympic Committee has apologised for insulting the Last Supper. Can you inform these two wokies, but you probably won't have been so woke yourself?
The IOC isn't Thomas Jolly, the creative director of the ceremony, guys. Sorry.
They have to. These days you have to apologise. If we apologise if people were offended. That's what they actually said, which is code for, oh, would you ever feck off and leave us alone? not everything is woke, Matt.
Okay, will you ever go away and leave us alone brings us to not quickly TV or streaming, but my God, the great Civil War of 2002 has been turned into a movie. Steve Coogan to play Mick McCarthy, and who is it who's going to be playing Roy Keane?
Aina Hardwick. He's great, and he's a Cork man himself.
Well, he'd have to be. You couldn't have a non-Cork man playing the greatest Cork man of the 20th century, could you?
Well, you guys would all be up in arms and giving out to me about that then. Sign me up for this. This film sounds fantastic. Yeah. Steve Coogan is Miss McCarthy, Aina Hardwick is Roy Keane. It's from the directors of Good Vibrations, a film from I think around 2017 that was about Belfast punk rock pioneer Terry Hooley. Great film if you haven't seen it. Paul Fraser is the writer. He's collaborated a lot with Shane Meadows. He wrote Dead Man's Shoes with him and Summerstown. So amazing talent already in the lineup there. And I'm like, it's a story that we all love to retell. It had the whole Aikino parody play around it as well. I think we're ready for a new interpretation.
Who'll win, I wonder?
It has a potential, because the production company behind it have a lot of connections to Cork, so at least we're going to get the truth finally. But it has the potential to be a really good movie as well. I mean, if they do it along the lines of like something like The Damned United, I think this could be a really
good
movie.
Oh yeah, that was brilliant.
Movie.
And as a Leeds United fan, I'd say that I love the Damned United. That was brilliant. Lister says, I'm in the USA. Your own show playback is not available until 9 p.m. Irish time each day too. Okay, touche. That said, we don't have the massive staffing levels here at Today FM, and we don't have the government finance to allow us to actually put things up quickly.
725 million match.
Your pick of the week, Elaine, please.
I'm going to recommend a documentary that's on BBC Two, 9 p.m. on Wednesday, called Atomic People. And it's actually speaking to the few remaining survivors of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Like, there are still people alive today that survived those. And, 120,000 people instantly killed and tens of thousands more who later died from radiation exposure. Finding any survivors of this event is remarkable. And I think their voices should be heard, especially in the wake of, we had Oppenheimer last year and a lot of buzz around that film and the history of it, but really focused on him and the US military aspects of it. And I would really like to spotlight these voices in that context as well.
Okay, what's your pick of the week, Joel?
Very left field this, right? But it could be a really good watch. It's called Women in Blue. It's starting on Apple TV on Wednesday, and it's based on real life events in Mexico City in the early 70s, where there was a serial killer targeting women. The police and the police commissioner decided to hire their first ever female police officers, except when they hired, the women came forward and were recruited, then they found out it was all a publicity gimmick. They were just trying to get rid of the heat from the investigation. It looks really, really great. It's in Spanish, so it'll be subtitled, but don't let that put you off. It's called Women in Blue. And I think, if you like something a bit left field, you like a crime drama, whodunit, all that kind of stuff, I think it'll be a fascinating watch.
Actually, you have another recommendation. And yeah. I went with Aileen and our youngest son up the Eiffel Tower last year and was fascinated by the story behind it. And this is a documentary on BBC Four this week.
Tonight. And it's called Eiffel Tower, because we all saw Celine Dion up there, and that was the moment of the opening ceremony by a mile. But it's called, on BBC Four tonight, it's called Eiffel Tower, Building the Impossible. And it's a documentary about just that, how it came about, how it was hated by a lot of people when it first went up, and how it became, how it survived, two world wars, invasion, the Nazis, and how it became an icon of one of the greatest cities in the world. It's called Eiffel Tower, Building the Impossible, 9 p.m. BBC Four tonight.
Mike in Dublin 18 says, IOC didn't apologise for the opening. They apologised for anyone getting offended, as Joe said. Same religious cult followers fuming over this have no issue with a naked Donald Trump being portrayed on a cross in a crucifixion scene. That image has circulated on social media. There are people amongst those who've complained about this who regard Donald Trump as the Messiah, and we know he's merely a very naughty boy. We'll be back with the 6 to 6. Thank you very much, Elaine Burke and Joe Shea, after this.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.